Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us, and I hope you're having a great Friday the 13th. A lot of people kind of get worried about that. I heard on the news earlier today, somebody's talking about they tried to figure out the cost to our economy of people being afraid of Friday the 13th, people that would stay home from work and not want to fly, not want to do different things because it's Friday the 13th. Well, I'm glad to be here on Friday the 13th. Glad you're with us as well. And I hope you'll give us a call today as well. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air. We do pray that you would just take the program today, use it for your glory, bless through the things that we talk about. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage Christians, Lord, and help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk about something today, too, but of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, as I said, it's a live program. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll take your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. But I want to talk about the idea of asking questions here, actually, and since that's what we do on this program. If you've listened to our program for any length of time, and if you've listened to our Sunday night program, because we're on this same station here, AM 1220, The Word, we're on every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And we also take questions about the Bible and current events live on the air every Sunday night as well, and invite you to tune in for that. And sometimes if you're not able to listen to the station or not able to get the signal clear, or perhaps you're traveling and you want to listen to some of our programs, if you check out our website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find past programs there, and you can learn a little bit about us, about the program, and also links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And certainly you can download the MP3 files, listen to them online of our past programs as well. And I've got some other things there that I try to put in. And it also links to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, I tend to link a number of articles and stuff. It's just a lot faster to put them on Facebook than to completely open up the code for the web page and code all that in. It's just a lot easier to cut and paste on Facebook. But certainly, I want to encourage you to ask questions, and we're going to get to our phones here. But what prompted this is I read an article the other day, and the title of the article was How Not Letting Your Children Ask a Question Leads Them to Atheism. And the writer had a encounter with a friend of his who was talking to somebody he used to go to college with who said that he was an atheist, and he asked him why. And he said, what's your biggest objection to the existence of God today? And his friend's answer, and I've heard people say things like this too, he said, no one would let me ask a question. He had been in church in high school. He started asking questions. He brought them to his pastor and other church leaders. And rather than try to answer his questions, have a discussion with him, basically, he was told real believers don't ask questions like that. They just trust God and have faith. And his conclusion in high school then became that the questions really didn't have answers because Christianity is a fable, and he became an atheist as a result. We ought not to be afraid of questions. I mean, we have the truth. We have the Word of God, which is truth. And so if we have truth, questions not going to hurt the truth. And we should be willing to take a stand and answer questions, honest, searching questions. We should be able to answer them. We'll talk more about that if we get a chance, but we've got a couple of callers calling in right away. And we've got Jeremiah calling in. Jeremiah, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Yes, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
First question.
Uh-huh.
In the Book of Genesis, chapter 1, when God created everything.
Right.
The Garden of Eden, where would it be at in today's modern time?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because a lot of people think that the Garden of Eden would have been located somewhere in the vicinity of Mesopotamia, which would be in Iraq today, because of the Tigris and the Euphrates River. They believe it was located between that. And part of the reason for that is the name of some of the rivers that bounded the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. Several rivers that are meant there, that are mentioned there. In verse 11, it says the name of the first is Pison. The name of the second is, Gihon, and then the third is Hiddekel, and then the fourth is the Euphrates, and they take it from that to say that it was probably around the area of Mesopotamia there. Myself, I don't know that we could really locate it based on that, because, you know, when people came from England, for instance, and explored the New World, they name some of the rivers here and some of their towns and everything based on rivers and towns back home. For instance, York, England, and then you have New York in the New World and different things like that. But what I'm getting at is, after the flood, there was a huge change in the topography of the earth. The entire earth's surface was changed radically. And so the river Euphrates would have disappeared, as well as these other three rivers. And they named one of the new rivers in the new land Euphrates, which is a name that they were familiar with from before the flood. So I don't know that we could locate it on the earth today. Some people suggested that maybe it might have actually been somewhere in the vicinity of Jerusalem, since God put the temple there. But that's one question I don't know if we can really answer.
Yeah, would the garden either be underwater in the Persian Gulf?
That's a possibility. It's entirely possible. Because, like I said, the flood changed the surface of the earth radically. Continents were changed, mountain ranges were lifted up, islands disappeared, new islands appeared. And then, of course, after the flood, there's good reason to believe that the Ice Age appeared shortly after the flood, with the fluctuating changes in the climate as the Earth's climate settled down. And then, of course, in many areas, just like right here in northeastern Ohio, you know, our geology was changed radically by the glaciers. The whole Great Lakes that we're sitting just south of were formed by the glaciers. And so, yeah, so many changes it very well could have been.
Because the Persian Gulf is the first of the two rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris.
Right. And in fact, the mouth of the Euphrates and the Tigris used to be much further down in the Persian Gulf, much further inland, because of sediment and things like that over the years. The location of the mouth of the Tigris and Euphrates in the Persian Gulf has gone further south, and a lot of that land has been filled in over the centuries. So, yeah, so it was somewhere on the earth, that's for sure.
You answer my question. God bless.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the question there. Thank you for the call, Jeremiah, and appreciate that. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we've got Ronnie calling in today. Ronnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing on this Friday the 13th?
Friday 13th don't mean a thing to me, except it's another beautiful day that God has made.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Amen. Hey, look, I called to ask you a question about...
Yes, sir.
There was a certain ministry that I used to watch on TV, and they went through the Bible.
Right.
Every day, every chapter by verse and everything. But there were certain things that they did not believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, anyway, I stopped watching it after I heard what the minister said about this certain thing about the Bible. And one thing was about the rapture.
Right.
And that turned me off right there. So my question is, should we listen to those type of ministries that don't believe in certain things in the Bible? I'm gonna have to leave you because I'm at the doctor's office right now.
Oh, okay.
I'll get the checkup, but I'm going to be listening to you anyway on the radio part, but I want to make sure I make that call in to wish you a happy good day and my question.
All right, and I thank you for that, and hopefully things go well with the doctor's visit there, and I'll get this uploaded here in the next few days, and you can, if you don't get a chance to listen to the whole thing now, you can listen to it later on online at livewithpastoral.com. So hopefully
it'll
work
out. I appreciate it.
All right, well, thank you.
I appreciate your ministry so much because it really has taught me a lot anyway.
But, well, thank you.
I got to go now, and I'll be listening.
All right. Well, thank you, and I appreciate your prayers and support there as well. Appreciate that. A question about selective belief in the Bible, or maybe in a sense, another way to rephrase that would be unwillingness to believe certain things in the Bible. And those are sort of similar in many respects, but there are ministries like that they kind of pick and choose what they want to believe, what they want to accept. And a question is, you know, should we listen to them? Should we take the time to listen to them? And you think about it. When you take the time to listen to this program or other programs, you're investing a certain amount of time in what you're listening to. And there can be various reasons. For instance, I will listen to things from time to time that I don't agree with, programs I don't agree with, people who have a position that I don't agree with, so that I can learn, you know, maybe why they hold that belief or why they reject what I believe. So there can be some value there. And I do that, I guess, in a sense, I can almost call that research so that I can be better prepared to answer people's questions. Now, for a younger person, you know, I'm thinking about a younger person in terms of age, such as our children. As they grow older, they'll be better able to handle, issues and things that they may not agree with, because they'll be hopefully better able to think about it and understand and have a basis for looking at those things. But for younger children, certainly, we do have to protect our young children from some of these things, because we don't want the devil to use these as ways to lead them astray. You know, we have an enemy, the Bible says. It's the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And sometimes he'll get people in our youth, he'll try to put doubt in their heart and try to lead them away from the things of God. But at the same time, as I said with that, we should be teaching our young people, and this kind of dovetails with what I'm talking about, we should be teaching our young people how to think. We have so many cases where a young person grows up in our church, and they seem to believe all the things about the Bible. They seem to have a knowledge and understanding, a grasp of the Word of God, and then they go off to college, go off to university in a secular setting, and they run into some professor at the university who challenges what they believe and destroys their faith in the first semester of college. You know, something that we thought we spent years teaching them is destroyed in one semester of college. Now, how does that happen? Well, part of that is because we just give our children stories, but we don't tell them why. We don't answer the questions. We don't teach them how to think. We don't teach them the basis so that they can evaluate things that are presented to them. And that same thing happens as well when we have younger Christians, Christians who do not have a grasp on the Bible. And I'll give you an example. And I'm not saying this anything against the one candidate for president, Dr. Ben Carson. In fact, I really like him. I think he'd make a good president. I think if I had to vote today, he would probably be one of my top two picks, top three picks for sure, probably one of my top two picks in terms of on the Republican side. So nothing against him personally, but it was in the news, of course, about some of his positions, and somebody was saying, well, he's a Seventh-day Adventist, and because of that, he holds weird positions. Well, you know, it's kind of a newsflash. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, the world is going to think you have weird positions that you hold. Because think about it. We believe that a man who was actually God died, and that he rose again physically 3 days and three nights later, and then he later ascended bodily up into heaven. Now, if you didn't believe the Bible, if you'd never been exposed to the Bible, you'd say that's weird, wouldn't you? And it is kind of weird to the person that's never heard anything like that before. But when you start to break down what the Bible teaches, you begin to understand that. And talking about the Seventh-day Adventist, I can remember when I was in college, I had grew up in church. I got saved at a young age, and I had a somewhat of a working knowledge of the Bible. I'd been through Sunday school, church services, and all of that. But I was in college. I actually responded to this little thing about send your name and address and take a free Bible study course. And so I sent away for it, and I thought, well, you know, maybe if I get into the Bible a little more, it'll help me, because I wasn't, you know, really living for the Lord like I should have been while I was in college. And so I started this free Bible study course. Well, I did not know it at the time, but the Bible study course was actually put out by the Seventh-day Adventist. And so as I began going through this Bible study, little by little, they began teaching some of the odder doctrines that the Seventh-day Adventists teach, one of which is the concept of soul sleep. They teach through that when you die, you sleep in the grave, body, soul, and spirit, until the catching away, the rapture, and caught up to heaven, and then that's when you wake, basically. And they basically teach that by going by the fact that most people don't have an understanding of the basic nature of a human being that God created. Remember Genesis chapter 1, God said he would create us in his own image. In Genesis chapter 2, he gives us the detailed breakdown of that. He created us, he created Adam. He formed his body from the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so Adam became a three-part being: body, a soul, and a spirit. And we see the image, that's the image of God. God is a three-part being. God has a spirit, the Holy Spirit. God the Father would correspond to the soul. And then, of course, Jesus is the physical manifestation of God, God the Son. So we have the physical spirit and the soul. And, of course, the soul being the thinking part, decision-making, the will, the emotion, the intellect, and all that. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Father and the Spirit, in that sense, there was a separation there. And remember, Jesus said from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he tasted death for us. Well, when we die, it's the same thing. Our soul and our spirit are separated from our body. Our body goes into the tomb, just like Jesus went into the grave. And then our soul and our spirit go to be with the Lord in heaven. That also helps explain in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it talks about the dead in Christ being raised first, and then the believer, or those who are alive. But it also explains why the Bible says that the dead in Christ come with them in the clouds, and then they rise, because soul and spirit, they come with them, because Paul said that absent from the body for the believer means to be present with the Lord. So when we die, our soul and spirit are separated from our body and goes to be with the Lord in heaven, and the body goes into the grave, and it's not reunited until the resurrection, when the body is caught up out of the grave and changed into an eternal body, an incorruptible body, a body without a sin nature, a resurrected body. And that's how we can be in heaven with the Lord and also sleeping in the dirt at the same time. That's because it's the body, the physical part of us, that goes into the grave, that sleeps. And the soul and spirit are very much awake with the Lord in heaven, and we're there with him. Well, and as a result of that, I did not understand that, because I didn't have a good understanding of those biblical truths. And so for a short period of time, probably for about a year or so, I actually found myself believing the concept of soul sleep. Now, I was brought into that belief little by little, because I did not have an understanding of the scriptures. And so, again, I know I've kind of taken a little while answering Ronnie's question in terms of listening to programs which deny parts of the Bible or don't believe parts of the Bible. And the reason I told that story is if somebody is not mature in their understanding, if they're not well-grounded in the Word of God, then those things are going to be dangerous. That's what happened to me. I could have easily become a Seventh-day Adventist. There was some other things about Seventh-day Adventism that I began to embrace, and it was all because I was not grounded. But what I'm getting at here, too, is if you're a mature Christian, if you have learned how to think, that's why it's so vitally important that we allow our children to ask questions at home. We allow our children to ask questions at church, especially when they get to high school where they're really starting to want to know why we believe the things that we believe, why we believe the Bible is the Word of God and not the Quran, things like that. We need to be willing to allow them to ask these questions so that we can not only ground them in the truth, but also so that we can help them to think. And then when they have those two things, a grounding in the truth, they know what they believe, and then they know how to think, they know why they believe, then when they encounter that professor at college that tries to destroy their faith, they'll be resistant to that because they've been prepared with the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free, and that's important. We need to understand what the truth is. The Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. You read about this in 1 Kings chapter 10, and the Bible says she came to prove him with hard questions, and Solomon answered all her questions, and the result of this, she said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God." It was something that impressed her, because he answered her questions. And we need to be willing to teach our children, give them that grounding. And, you know, we don't need to go out and spend all our time, and I certainly don't spend all my time listening to programs and watching programs that deny the Word of God, that pick and choose what they believe. And in fact, I've said it before, I don't listen to a lot of Christian radio. I don't watch a lot of Christian television. The reason is I get frustrated with it sometimes because of the false beliefs that are often presented without any thought, or because of things that are said that if you would just read the Bible, it would be so obvious what the answer is. And I get frustrated at stuff that goes out. I heard somebody asking one time of a person on the radio, what do you think about ghosts? And they said, well, I don't believe it, or I don't know anything about that. And the guy with them said, praise God. And I thought, well, are you praising God that your co-host is ignorant on something that the Bible does talk about? Are you praising God that he doesn't know anything? No, that's a sad commentary that somebody would say that he doesn't know something about the Bible, and that his co-host would say, praise God. And amen to that. That's ridiculous. No, we're not always going to have a perfect understanding. The Bible says now we see through a glass darkly. One day we're going to have a perfect understanding. I may very well get to heaven and find out there's a lot of things that I was, off on, and I'll kind of put my hand on my forehead, or probably whack myself on the forehead and say, how could I have been so dumb? How could I have not seen that? But we need to continue to learn. We need to continue looking in the Bible. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. We need to reason from the scriptures. We need to answer questions. Don't be afraid of things that are difficult. You know, if God's word is true, and it is, it'll stand up to the questioning. If you've got a good, strong basis in the Word of God, and you know how to think and reason in a godly fashion, you'll be able to handle those things that are out there. Don't let the world throw you. Don't let the world take away the assurance that you have in Christ. Yes, some things have to be accepted by faith, but there's enough truth in the Word of God that the faith we have to believe those things that we don't understand is reasonable faith. It's not just blind faith, it's reasonable faith. God wants us to be assured of these things. Well, thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of Live with Pastor Al. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.